Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are going to chat with Donna Mathewitz. This show is called Grief Chat, and we always learn so much when she comes in, so thank you so much. Great to see you.
Good to see you again.
How have you been?
I've been fine.
Okay.
All things considered.
All things considered. Well, I know that you're going to be down for the count for a little bit.
I am, a little bit. Getting a new knee.
Oh, yep. Brother.
Patch. That's what happens as
I
we
know.
Get older.
And if we couldn't keep up with you now, boy, we're going to have a hard time after you get your knee.
That's right.
Watch out, world.
That's right.
Here she comes. So, well, we wish you well in your surgery.
Thank you.
I hope it all goes okay.
It's going to be
different for you to be kind of down for the count.
It is. I'm not used to that, and having people kind of fill in for me at grief groups and things for just a little while, but it'll all work out, and my phone will still work, and my iPad, and my husband's going to become a nurse. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. You mentioned your grief groups. Do you want to tell
sure.
people the number that
sure.
you have, and then also the specifics? And I'm
yes.
curious to know how the one that the young ladies...
The sibling.
Yeah, the sibling one.
Yes, so we have three groups that we oversee or facilitate. Our first group is our Gone Too Soon, which now we'll meet Wednesday. It's always the first and third Wednesday of every month at 6:30 at the Community Ed Building over on River and 4th Street, the Tilden Building. That is called Gone Too Soon. It is just for parents who have lost children. And sometimes we have some grandparents come if they were, you know, really involved with a child's life as well. And that's just become a wonderful, well-bonded group of parents who are just there to support and care for each other on this hard journey of losing a child. The other group is our Hastings Grief Support Group, is for general loss, and it has become really mostly spousal loss, although we would welcome other other losses as well, but it is just kind of that's what it's become, is widows and a few, as I say, brave widowers who come. We have a few men. We actually do have three or four men now that have been coming consistently, so that's good to see. And that's on the fourth Thursday of every month at 6:00 at the Community Ed Building in Hastings. And on the Gone Too Soon nights, on those first and third Wednesdays, while our Gone Too Soon group is operating, we also have at the same time in the same building, just in a different room, we have our sibling support group. And that was born out of one of our young women whose mom and dad had been coming to our group after they lost their son 2 years ago. Jenna came and with her mom and dad, and was surprised how much it helped her to be with other people who just understood, even though they weren't siblings. And she just kind of stepped up and thought maybe we needed a group for other siblings. And so that has become, we've got Jenna and then Danny, who lost his brother 9 years ago. And both of them are just very interested and willing to kind of come alongside some younger people. And so the group has become a group of, we're kind of looking at the age group from anywhere from 12 to 20. So it's that young teen to teenagers to young adult age group is what it's kind of morphed into. And they just get together and, watch a video maybe and just talk. And they do some, they'll use some artwork. Sometimes they do some writing and things that get them being able to concentrate on something else while they talk. That seems to be a little bit easier way to help younger people express what they're feeling. So that happens on that first and third Wednesday as well. So we have those three groups available in Hastings. And contact me, find me on Facebook with my name, Donna Mathewitz, or at Unfinished by Design, my business page. Contact me anyhow, any way you'd like, and I'll be happy to respond as soon as I can.
Donna, have you ever in the past had a splinter group from your, you mentioned it was mainly spousal
mm-hmm.
loss? Because I think if you lose a spouse maybe at a very young age, that's different than if you lose a spouse at an older age. And
yes.
again, not to be disenfranchising
yes.
people with their grief, but right. those two losses, I've had some friends yeah. that are young widows, mm-hmm. and they said that these groups sometimes are difficult.
Right. Yes, I would agree with that, because if it's a younger widow, they're probably dealing, or widower, they're dealing with still having young children at home.
Yes.
And now they become a single parent. And so our group does tend to be probably for that reason. If they've come and just felt like, yeah, it was all older people, they'd been married 40 or 50 years, and the pain is different, you know, when you're only 30 or 40 when you lose your mate. There's a different process, and the losses are just varied compared to those that are older and have raised their children, and it was just the two of them. And
because usually when somebody passes away young, there's another factor in there,
yes,
of grief. It's,
right,
it's an accident. It's,
yes,
a terrible illness.
Yes, right.
Some,
and you're dealing, and you're also very, very concerned with what you're going to do with these children that are now missing mommy or daddy. So there's a lot more time spent probably in counseling for the children and family counseling, and it's more complicated, I would say.
Do you meet people that at your groups that you would maybe suggest that they go to an ongoing counselor as well?
Oh, and yeah, yes.
Is that overstepping boundaries if you recommend that?
No. In fact, I often will say in the group, you know, this group is not the end all. There may be some of you who, depending on the type of loss, you know, if they're dealing with a tragic loss, you know, a murder or those type of suicide sometimes can often warrant that. I'll say, you know, I totally support you, you know, and I can give you a couple of names, and sometimes within the group themselves, someone will say, well, you know, earlier on I saw this person, and so they kind of end up networking among themselves, which is very helpful. And, you know, and then the other thing too is some people will maybe have thought that it's some weakness or I don't want to get addicted, you know, when it comes to any kind of prescription drugs that a doctor might recommend, at least for a time. I also say I think there's a time and a place for that as well. It doesn't mean you have to do it the rest of your life, but if you haven't slept in 4 nights, your sleep deprivation will become a whole nother issue in your life.
There's a reason why that's a form of punishment or a form of torture.
Yes, that's, yeah, really. So, you know, when people say that, I just don't sleep anymore. It's like, well, have you talked to your doctor? And, you know, is there something you should maybe be taking at least for a time? If you can do it over the counter, fine. But if that's just not enough, then don't be so proud or whatever that might keep you from, because some people just come from that kind of stock where it's like, I don't take pills. I'll see it through.
But it's not working.
Right. And now it's going to affect your mental health and your physical health and your job. All those things are in
jeopardy. Those things that you bring up, or is that something that somebody maybe says to you on the side, or do they?
I probably would talk on to the side if some, you know, because I don't want to call them out.
You
group
need medication.
Of people.
Yeah.
But if I sense that there really seem to be sliding
yeah.
down. I might.
So beautiful you do that, Donna.
That I just take them aside or say,
yeah.
Hey, maybe, you know, do you have time for coffee this week or something? And we'll visit a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all great. So thank you. Grief groups are alive and well.
Yes, they
in
are.
Hastings.
Yes, they are.
So we talked, I think, last month about different road signs.
Yes.
And that was a very interesting
yes.
conversation. But boy, there's a lot of road signs.
That's right.
That I don't think we got to.
That's right. Yeah, well, I think we only talked about the yield sign and how we need to yield to what grief is going to require of us. And we went over a few things. But today I want to talk about another sign, which is the rest area. It's another sign we see, right? Dick and I just traveled and we saw all kinds of rest areas. So, but it's a place to pull over and get out and move around and refresh. And
even in our healthy state as we're driving, I don't know that most of us take advantage of that to rest. It's
usually
to run to the restroom,
right.
and then we don't rest. We stop
that's
there
right.
quick, and then we're on our
yeah.
way again.
A potty break, and a drink of water, and away we go again. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, back on the road
so
in 5 minutes.
Are you saying we're not even using rest areas correctly?
No, we're not. We're not really resting in the rest area. But in this context,
is that a metaphor for life?
It's a metaphor for life. It is, because I think self care is something that, if I generalize, we as an American society, we're not real good at self-care. We're good at driving ourselves and pushing as far as we can, and whatever it is our lofty goals might be, and we deprive ourselves of sleep, and we don't eat like we should, and we don't do a lot of things.
Yep.
That is recommended. It's funny because if you go to the doctor for just about any ailment, whether it's just a brief thing that's a virus that's passing through and you'll be fine in a few days, or a more serious disease or syndrome or something, the doctor usually has these things. They all say the same thing in a nutshell. They say, you know, get plenty of rest, drink water, eat well, and get some exercise. Well, I use that same prescription when I talk to people in grief. It's like we desperately need all those things in our life. you know, and that's part of this whole idea of the rest areas. How are we resting our bodies and our minds? And what are we feeding ourselves? Not just what are we putting in our mouth and eating, but what are we feeding our minds? And mm-hmm. I think especially in this time we've been living in for the last year and a half or 2 years, whatever, I think we need to be much more aware of what we're putting into our heads by what we read and by what we watch on TV. And how much news do you need in a day? How many stations do you need to watch and hear the same bad? I mean, I personally do not watch the news.
And yet you're one of the most in touch with what's going on in the world people I know.
Well, I you know what? I had a wise person years back that said, you know what? If there's anything important that you should know, your friends will be glad to tell you what it is. And I do use Facebook a lot, and
But that's where you get your news.
Don't badger me. You know, I don't believe at all. But there are some newsworthy things, you know, and then if I'm curious, I can look further and see now what is really going on here.
Okay, good, because I had to do an intervention on you.
Well, if it was on Facebook, well, it's on the internet, it's got to be true. I thought that's what somebody said way back. But anyway, you know, but still, too much of anything is too much, right?
It is.
And so, I the times that I've maybe had, you know, that my TV was still on at 10 o'clock and the news came on, it's like, all I hear is murders and shootings and stabbings and I just listen. I go, oh my goodness! No one should go to bed with this. The last thing you hear,
stress.
This, you know, and we're helpless to fix any of what you just listened to. I just think we could do better. We could be reading things that fill our minds with ideas and thoughts and ways we could make our little corner of this big blue ball better. That's what I believe, and I don't think I'm out of touch with what's going on, but there's a lot of it I just choose not to be engrossed in, and I think we can be mentally healthier for that. As far as the physical part, do anything to move, you know, especially for people who are, you know, and more people staying home, working home office, they're not even getting up to get in the car to walk into their offices anymore. So get up and walk and move, and you can do home things at home. YouTube is full of quick little 20-minute exercise programs or whatever. So just taking care of yourself is what that rest area is about.
And I think also with the whole exercise piece, it releases endorphins.
Oh, it does, yeah.
And that can only help a grieving person.
Oh, it does, yes. And you can do that without being affected by other people around you. You can walk by yourself. If you have a good friend who you feel it's helpful to you to be with that person, you know, every morning or three mornings a week or whatever it might be, then do that. But if you like walking alone, you like the solitude, and you just appreciate watching the leaves change colors and taking in the fresh air, and you can cry while you walk, or you can pray while you walk, or you can just be quiet while you walk. But generally, when you're grieving, your mind is kind of clicking a lot. You don't stop thinking very well when you're grieving. But maybe if you could get some of that done in a healthy way during the day, your mind would allow you to rest at night instead of still having all that in you.
And you also mentioned the term self-care, and I think that is off-putting maybe to somebody that might think of self-care sounds kind of selfish.
Mm, yeah, it's funny. You know, I was raised by a mom who she wouldn't have known what that was if I'd have said, you know, you should do some self-care. She'd go. My mom was just a physical worker. She had a garden, huge garden that she tilled, and then she froze it, and then she canned it, and then she, whatever you did with it, she could do it. She's worked hard, and she valued people who were good, hard workers. And I think it just comes from that era, that generation, that you are kind of judged, so to speak, by how hard you work. Even if, I mean, could be a kind of a louse of a person, but boy, he was a hard worker. It's like, okay. Really? But anyway, so I know there's people where, and I think I don't feel there's anything selfish about taking care of yourself, because if you are one who loves to do for others and give to others, you will do it so much more effectively if you yourself are stronger.
Are healthy. Okay.
Yes. I mean, I'm going to get a massage today because I think massages help me. And is it a luxury? I realize that I'm blessed, that I can do that. And I know that not everyone, they just aren't able to do that. But, you know, there are other things you can do that don't have to cost a lot of money. You know, last night I I drew up a bin, a bucket of warm, soapy water, and I stuck my feet in it because my feet hurt. You know, I thought, this feels good. And I rubbed my feet, and then I put some lotion on them. You know, I thought, that's just a little mini spa. Again, anybody could do that. It didn't cost me anything. And it felt good, and I slept better because, you know, I soaked my feet first.
But, you know, I think sometimes when you're really, really grieving, all these things sound like effort. All you want to do is just...
Yes. Well, and it does take... There's a mindset that, you know, and I tell people in grief, it's like, I wish I could carry a pad of pink tickets. And that pink ticket would say, I am not responsible. I get the next 18 months where I'm not held accountable. I'm not responsible. That means if I don't make all my mortgage payments, it's okay. I've got 18 months. And for those of you grieving, I'm not saying in 18 months everything's fine. I'm just saying the most intense part of grieving will be that 18 months to even the 2 years.
And we need to be forgiving of each other.
And we need to be forgiving of each other. And you need to give yourself grace. And then when you have enough grace, if you have a little left over, give it to the person who doesn't understand what you're going through. There's grace that can flow out of us if we can give ourselves and us. So I think that grace for us, that kind of falls into that self-care category of stop. Do not expect to be able to do all the things at the pace you did them before this happened in your life. Because you can try, and then you'll run yourself into the ground. It won't be pretty.
Donna, you always have such great insights for us. We're so grateful. Donna Mathewitz is the host of Grief Chat on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA. Grief Chat. Not scared to say, I used to be the one preaching it to you that you could overcome. I still believe it. It ain't easy, 'cause that world I painted, where things just don't work out, it started changing, and I started having doubts, and it got me so in here.